The man who founded the iconic record label Rough Trade and signed The Smiths, Geoff Travis, has always been in the vanguard of music. He has recently founded a new label, River Lee, to champion traditional and contemporary folk. As part of the Tradition Now series at the National Concert Hall, Geoff Travis is curating a special evening of River Lee artists, and among those artists is Lisa O'Neill, who's with me here in studio in Dublin, and Geoff Travis joins us from London. Geoff, what sent you off? What was not available to you in Rough Trade that meant you had to set up River Lee to explore the type of music that you're doing there?
Well, River Lee is not only myself, it's also Jeanette Lee, who we run Rough Trade together, and also Tim Chipping, who's sort of our folk whisperer and keeps us up to date with everything in the world of folk. We've done some folk music in the past. As people know, we did a wonderful album by Alistair Roberts called Farewell Sorrow. And we worked with Jersey and Clark, who's considered a great folk singer. But it was Lancome, really, that were the catalyst for our exploration of what was going on in modern folk music. And the experience of putting Lancome out on the Rough Trade main label proper made us think that the kind of people that are used to dealing with our music, they've got a wide and broad taste of music, but they don't really know who the Bothy Band are or who Planxty are, let alone Swan Arcade, which I didn't even know who they were until I was told by Ian Lynch. But so we wanted to go gently to introducing our audience to this wonderful music. That was the idea.
And did you say that it's Ian Lynch who is the folk whisperer? That's a great term.
Well, no, the actual folk whisperer was Tim Chipping, who's
Tim
a
Chipping,
folk journalist,
sorry.
And he's the third one. So our River Lee sort of triumvirate is myself, Tim and Jeanette. And when we agree about something, we try to work with an artist. We all agreed pretty unanimously after about 5 seconds when we heard Lisa.
What was it about Lisa? Now, you're not sitting in the same room as her, so you can say everything and she can blush here in front of me. What was it about Lisa O'Neill that really struck you, would you say, Geoff?
Well, I mean, she's just marvellous. I mean, she's got an authentic voice. I mean, in the Renaissance, they say that the concept of the I became more prevalent. But Lisa embodies the concept of the us. She's writing about all of humanity in a way that's very hard to do, that reaches your heart directly and moves you. And she's a great songwriter, and she's a great singer, and she's a great performer. It's a rare triple threat that is Lisa O'Neill.
There you go, Lisa. That's high praise for coming from anybody, but coming from Geoff Travis, that must mean quite a lot to hear that spoken in that way.
Well,
Lisa,
you can see me smiling here, Sean.
I certainly can see. In fact, your head was kind of down listening to that very carefully, because you are quite a modest person. There's almost a shyness about it, was there?
Well, they're lovely things to say, and it's lovely to hear from Geoff. And know that, well, I guess he doesn't regret signing me. And so far it's been going so good, you know.
Yeah, you were saying to me just before we came to air, in fact, that the outcome of the BBC Folk Awards, huge number of nominations that you have there.
But we can't believe it. It's wonderful, really. I don't make music for these reasons.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about awards when I'm choosing my songs and writing my songs. But
the great irony is, although Lisa is known in Ireland and is becoming more and more known, it sometimes takes outsiders to show the culture what are the jewels in the culture that are living close to them, I think.
Yeah, you mentioned that to me, Lisa, just before we came to air. How isn't it that you felt great that you were getting this kind of recognition outside of here as well, outside of home?
Well, yeah, because I've been on the move for 10 years now doing this. I mean, it's 10 years since I left my last job in Bearleeson to take this serious. And I've travelled a lot around the UK and around the world. And it can be such a slow process. So it feels, these nominations have really made us feel like the work is starting to pay off. You know?
Yeah, the BBC, sorry, I just give the Folk Awards nominations that Lisa's up for, Geoff. The Best Album for Heard a Long Gone Song, Folk Singer of the Year, and Best Original Track for Blackbird, and Best Traditional Track, and that's for Factory Girl with Rady Pete. Phenomenal, yeah. Really, Lisa.
Boss. You know, but all with a pinch of salt as well. I mean, it's just for what we get recognised for and what we don't get recognised for, it's all the same. The work is I stand behind all of it.
Yeah, and funnily enough, Jeff, it kind of the way Lisa reacts to those awards links into what you're saying about the Renaissance taking the putting the I back into things, whereas Lisa is very much about the us, and the us being the music world rather than Lisa O'Neill, here I am, the star.
I think so, yes. And I think that's where the truest and greatest art really comes from. And also the other thing about the time it's taken Lisa to get this kind of recognition that she's fully deservedly getting now is something that James Baldwin says. I mean, having talent is one thing, working hard is another thing, working really hard is another thing, but you also have to have endurance. And not that many people have that when it comes down to it.
Yeah, because I mean, I suppose the easy thing to say in terms of contemporary music sometimes is to think that, oh, people want to be on a big talent show or whatever and get the immediate splash of fame. If you're really going to last, it's going to take longer than that. Is that the kind of thing that you would encourage very much at Riverlea, not to be looking for that big splash of success immediately?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, we made a little splash in a little pond, which is always gratifying. But I think it always, as Lisa was saying, all that really counts is how good is the work, and is it good enough to endure, and is it good enough to stir people's emotions and to elevate the soul in some way, and perhaps, you know, direct them to some action. I mean, that's the things that you hope for. It's a long-term project.
Yeah. Why do we have a piece of music that might say some of those things for us without necessarily using words? You were going to perform something else, but you chose, just as we were going to air, Lisa, to sing Danny Boy for us.
Yeah, because it's very recently close to my heart, and our family, I lost two uncles in the last month, two great men. So the O'Neill family have lost two great men in the last month, Teddy and Eugene. And I sang them off at their funerals, and I sang this at Teddy's funeral last week. And so I always liked to sing what's very, very raw in my heart.
And was there something within Danny Boy that spoke to you particularly about your uncles within the song?
But Danny Boy is everyone's boy, every mother. And I will hear those soft you tread above me, and all my grave will softer, sweeter be, because you're near and tell me that you love me, and I'll sleep in peace until you come to me.
Lisa O'Neill with her version there of Danny Boy. Lisa is with me in studio here in Dublin this evening, and in studio in London is Jeff Travis of the Riverlea label, which Lisa has just joined, and that will be part of the Tradition Now series at the National Concert Hall. Jeff Travis is curating one of those. Just before, I want to talk to Jeff a bit more, Lisa, but can I just ask you again the two uncles' names? Uncle Teddy?
Teddy and Eugene.
Teddy and Eugene. Well, what a way to remember them this evening here in Arena. Jeff, you know, I was going to say to you about what is folk music, but I think Lisa has probably just shown us exactly what it is. But what are you looking for with Riverlea? What are you looking for as part of this Tradition Now curation and the artists that you've chosen when you talk about folk music or contemporary folk music?
That's a hard question, really, because, I mean, we're just like kids, really, that when we hear something that really moves us, then we get really excited, and it's not really an intellectual response. It's more of an emotional response. I mean, it's obviously informed by all the music that we've heard in our lives, which is a lot of music. I mean, we spend our lives listening to music and going to concerts, which is not the worst way to live. And so when something comes along and strikes you in a certain way, it just goes straight to the heart, really, and that's it, really. It's authenticity, it's truth, it's originality, it's craftsmanship, it's art, it's something that echoes deep into the past. Louis Armstrong said all music is folk music, since if it's not folk, it's done by animals.
So. That's a great description. Lisa's going to tune her banjo, actually. I know she needs to adjust the tuning. So work away, Lisa, and do that. Let that happen. Don't be afraid about making noise. We can keep talking while you're doing it. So work away at the retuning. I suppose what you're talking about there, in some ways, Jeff, that kind of emotional response must be part of what was rough trade in those early days, when it was
in fact a community in a record shop,
the early days.
But our way of working is exactly the same. It's for Jeanette and I, we hear something that we respond to in the same way, and I'm so fortunate to have someone to work with that we sort of share the same taste. And it's an odd thing, because you know how people can go to the same show and have a completely different response, but we seem to be in sort of some kind of mental synchronicity, maybe because of our backgrounds and where we were brought up and the experiences we had. But we're very much in sync. I mean, you know, Jeanette worked with John Lydon, and when she was in Public Image with him, and they would listen when they were in Gunter Grove in Chelsea, in John's house, they would listen to the music that John loved in particular, and that would be dub and reggae, but it would also be Irish traditional music. And so when Jeanette and I went on a car ride one day, I was playing Planxty tape, I think, just by chance, not by design, and she started telling me about how she knew this music intimately without realising that she knew it because of that period. And we both agreed that this was something really special.
And how did you come across Planxty, or do you remember?
Well, I mean, my job is, I'm sort of a detective. That's my job, to investigate, follow the leads and listen to everything. I love doing that. I mean, I'm a kid that was informed by Ireland music when I was growing up, and, you know, more than I was by the traditional labels. But, you know, the fact that...
How did that happen, Jeff? How were you informed by Irish music? Was it within the family?
Well, I'm talking about Ireland Records, Chris Blackwell.
Ireland Records, beg your pardon.
Yeah, so they would have Fairport Convention alongside Roxy. Yeah. They would have the incredible string band, Nick Drake, alongside, you know, Bob Marley and Spooky Tooth. And that label was so good, it had a streak for so long, that, you know, when you're school kids, these were the records that you'd buy and look to. You'd see the King Crimson cover and you'd buy it. You wouldn't really even know what was in it. It was, the cover was so good.
And that taught
me about it, really.
Yeah. Was it enough to see Island Records? Was that enough for you to say, I love it, these guys have great taste in music, so I'm just going to take this record and have a listen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, didn't love every single thing, but probably about 80%. It's a pretty good ratio. And that was really that kind of ethos and, you know, sort of quality control is what we've always wanted for Rough Trade.
But I guess having that shop at the time, at the beginning of Rough Trade, you know, David Bowie was a regular shopper in the shop, even though he may not have come directly straight up to the counter to you. But was it a community of people who literally went into a shop, listened to music and talked about it all day? Was that what work was?
It was, although you couldn't talk that much because we had these reggae speakers, sound system that we bought secondhand from someone in Harleston, and we used to play the music so loud, it was quite hard to hear what people wanted to buy. It was fun.
I'm wondering too about the River Lee aspect of things. So, because Jeanette Lee is spelt L-E, isn't she? And River Lee
is it's a kind of conflation of the idea that we wanted to have a name, which was maybe an undiscovered secret river that ran. You know, and there are a lot of rivers that run underneath London that are secret or have disappeared over time, like the Strand, for example. And so that was one concept. And also Tim Chipping lives in Walthamstow, and the River Lee flows through Walthamstow.
And this is Lee, L-E-A. Jeanette,
yes. And then, of course, Jeanette's name was kind of a nod to her, that she can have pride of place. And being, you know, one of the few women in charge of record labels in the entire universe. So that was a nod for her as well. And also an extra bonus, everyone in Cork thinks it's named for them.
I was going to say, they've already claimed it.
John Spillane has a fantastic song called The River Lee.
Yeah, but
I think River Lee Records should put out that song.
It would be a great, great launching one for John. You'll have to have a listen to it now,
Jeff. We'll have to have a listen, Lisa, absolutely.
Oh, it's magic.
just one further question on the business model? Because I know that when you set up Rough Trade, there was this idea that you were modelling things on, that you'd learned in the kibbutz in Israel at the time, a kind of communal utopia. Are you still seeking that? Is that part of what you're looking for in River Lee, on the River Lee label?
I think I like to think that the way that we are in the workplace, the way that we live our lives on a daily basis, is it does have echoes of that, really, yes. It's not meant to be a hierarchical, stiff-laced, straight-laced institution.
All right, so, and I suppose, well, you still have, as you did in the shop, wasn't you could find artists down, not just making music, but maybe making the tea as well. Is it that
we
kind
had Jarvis
of...
We had Jarvis Cocker in today, so I don't think he made some tea, but I think he did get some coffee himself.
Fair enough. Let me just mention some of the other artists that are involved on October the 5th, along with Lisa. The brothers, Brian and Dermot McGlynn, are there, Ye Vagabonds.
Absolutely.
What strikes you about their music in particular?
Well, again, I mean, they to us, they're kind of like a cross between the Everly Brothers and the string band. I mean, they just have that brotherly DNA that makes their harmonies completely heavenly. And they're adventurous in what they're doing with the form. And there's just something magic about them as well. And the same for Bridger Chambord from the Isle of Skye, who plays the pipes. And those pipes, you know, they're the small pipes that she plays. They originated in Southeast Asia, I think, and then went to Australia where the Aboriginals used them, and then they kind of migrated back to somewhere like India where the tambura fulfilled that role. It kind of connects you to the earth. It's a primitive droning sound, and it's something, you know, really, really wonderful about that.
And you know, you mentioned that the Scottish artist there, perhaps these islands, which where division seems to be very much the order of the day at the moment, music is one of the great uniting factors in that.
It's
case,
a great connector, absolutely. Yeah, we don't need a bridge to know that we're all one, really.
All right, well, let's finish up with another song from Lisa. This is one of your own, Lisa. Tell us about this and where it comes from.
Well, this is called John Joe Riley Killed a Wren. And, well, there's the wren, the king of all birds. Liam Clancy tells it well, that back before we, it doesn't happen anymore, but on St. Stephen's Day, kids used to go out and they would call it burying the wren. Now, they still bury the wren a bit, but not like this. What they did back in the day before my time was the kids would go out and they'd find the little wren, beautiful little bird, and they'd kill the wren. And then they'd put the wren in a box and they'd be going around knocking on doors, collecting money for the wren's funeral. Now, my song is an extension to this idea. And in it, the cruelty of the little boy... He brings that cruelty in his early age where he disregards the life of the bird. He carries that notion on when he should have grown up and had a bit of manners. He disregards the life and the heart of the young girl, and he charms her to the point where she opens up and she gives away what is most important to her, to be left undervalued, and he doesn't care, and she's left feeling absolutely shamed and sad, and that is my song.
John Joe Riley.
John Joe Riley killed the wren. It's a good cabin name, John Joe Riley.
It certainly is. Liz O'Neill.
Race always back into the green island, bouncing on the sea, island bouncing on the sea. On the morning I was born, John Joe Riley killed a bird with a stone. Not a goose or a hen, John Joe Riley killed a wren. John Joe Riley killed a wren.
John Joe Riley killed the wren from Lisa O'Neill. And before that, we were also talking with Jeff Travis of the River Lee label that Lisa is now with. And she'll also be appearing at the National Concert Hall as part of their Tradition Now Festival. A series of concerts between October the 1st and the 6th. And Lisa, Ye Vagabonds and Bridget Shamble there on October the 5th, which I believe is the Saturday night. But she'll also be performing before that at the Clifton Arts Festival on Thursday night. She's in Cork for Culture Night, and she will be performing at the RTE Folk Awards on October the 24th. And the best of luck with all the nominations in the BBC Folk Awards as well for you. Lisa O'Neill.